Father God, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that is able to save our souls. Right now, God, we commit this time to you, ask you to bless our minds to understand your word, walk therein, be changed thereby into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have fellowship with you through him via the Holy Spirit. God, quicken this word to our hearts. Let us see the revelation and the meaning of every scripture, that it will have an impact on us and change us. Change our thinking, impart faith to us, make us into steadfast believers, that we'll be faithful to the end. God, let this word work on us. Bind the devil, bind the demons, bind the fallen angels, bind the witchcraft workers, bind the sorcerers, bind every interfering influence in Jesus' name. Set captives free for your glory and for your honor. Do it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, tonight we're talking about the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings. We're going to look at healing tonight. I mean, the Bible is replete with stories on healing and God intervening to heal people. We want to take a look at healing and what it's all about and try to understand God's ability to heal, because we've got a lot of sick people, a lot of infirm people, and it's not right for everybody to be always desperately in need of medical care and just always on drugs and medications and running to the doctor and just half dead serving the Lord. At some point, we got to know God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a healer and see the impact of God's healing power in our lives. So tonight we're talking about the gifts of healings. Let me begin this by saying this one thing up front. There are good, decent, righteous Christian people that are sick and they are infirmed that don't get healed. They bear up under all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and they're not healed. And some of them die of the sickness or disease. And it's not understandable from our point of view. I don't know why God doesn't heal everybody. I don't know why some people get healed and some people don't. I don't know all the mysteries that God keeps to himself concerning things like this. All we know is that God is able to heal anybody. Now, what he does in a given situation is up to him, and it's his sovereign intervention that heals. You can't make him do anything. We can't make God move because we want him to. We can put ourselves in a place of believing God and asking God and interceding and praying and supplicating and doing all those things as far as seeking God for healing. But we can't make him heal. So don't get caught up in that heavy duress of trying to make something happen. You put yourself out there in a state of belief. You stay faithful. You stay in faith. You stay trusting God and believing his word. And God, through his own sovereign will and what he decides to do, determines what he'll do in any given situation. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. If someone dies that's sick, don't get mad at God. Don't get angry at God. You just keep believing right on anyway. Believing for the next person to be healed. You know, God is the healer. We are the people that walk in faith. Don't get caught up in the duress of trying to make God heal somebody or heal you or get involved in all of that. Don't stop going to the doctor. Don't try to get off your meds and all this. There's been a lot of silly stuff taught to people, telling them if you take medicine, you're walking in unbelief. That's a lie. Don't get people involved in your life because they come with this lunatic fringe junk that can get somebody hurt, if not killed. See, we've been inundated in the church world with what I call charismaniacs. See, the word charis is the word for gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. Basically, Pentecostals have been marked as charismatics. In other words, Pentecostals that believe in the gifts of the spirits, the gift of the spirit are called charismatic. And what happened in the 70s and the 80s, a lot of the people in mainline churches like Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists and people in mainline churches began to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they were marked as charismatics. Pentecostalism was known as a denomination. But then when people began to talk in tongues and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in mainline Protestant denominations, they were marked as charismatics, people that believed in the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, and, you know, prophecy, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, etc. But you saw people get into extremes. They began to worship the gifts, worship talking in tongues, worship healing. So you can take anything that God does and make it an extreme and go off the deep end. Stay in the middle of the road. If God does something for you, he doesn't intend for you to begin to worship what he did and make the thing that he did for you, to you, or through you into God. So just get your mind on an even keel and don't get caught up in making anything that big of a deal. After all, if Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus is dead tonight, so it wasn't permanent. So if God heals somebody and they are still going to die in the long run anyway, healing can't be that big of a deal because it's not eternal. If God heals you of a heart disease or diabetes or some kind of incapacitating infirmity, it's not permanent because you're still going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So therefore, you don't want to worship healing in that it's not eternal. Anything that is not eternal, you don't want to worship it. Talking in tongues is not eternal, so why worship it? Any gift of the Spirit that operates through a human is not eternal, so why worship it? A word of wisdom, you don't want to worship that. A word of knowledge, prophecy, any kind of sign and wonder can't be eternal because it's only for the time and space arena. You never want to worship things that are supernaturally done even by God because they are not eternal. They're for here and now on earth to demonstrate and authenticate the fact that God is real and his word is true. So don't get caught up in worshiping things that are done by God because you'll become a charismaniac and you'll start running around looking for miracles under every tree, putting people under duress to make them try to believe for their healing, telling folks all this crazy stuff and getting wrapped up in a prophetic movement and trying to train people to be prophets and train them how to prophesy. And these are all charismaniacs, people that take it to the deep end. They go off the deep end with everything. They're never calm, cool, and collected. They're always running around trying to find some new thing. That happens mainly because, it happens mainly because there's no real church order and discipline in place for the most part right now. Folks are like wildfire. They don't come up under any kind of discipleship to be taught the word in a logical, analytical, well-planned out arena. You got to have a simple, orderly teaching program to train you up in the way you should go. It's just like raising a child in your home. God said you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So as you get born again as a newborn babe in Christ, you have to be brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord in church. So you'll have a logical, reasonable, middle of the road understanding of God and his word, and you won't become an extremist, and you won't fall prey to charismania, where you're just crazy and weird and strange and in the middle of the street talking in tongues to people and that kind of stuff. Look, folks, at some point we have to return back to being normal again. It's time to get back to normalcy again. You got to be normal in this. You don't have to be a weirdo. You don't have to have a jaundiced look in your eyes and have a glazed over gaze in your eyes talking to people. Just become normal again and be able to conversate with people in a reasonable, logical way so you won't be offensive to people. It's time to become normal, middle-of-the-road, thinking, analytical people that can reach other people. And peradventure, if God does something supernatural, you won't get caught up in it. It won't become a big thing to you. It won't become something that is so magnanimous and so out of touch with reality that you never can get your mind back again. Don't run around searching after miracles, signs, and wonders. Don't try to get wrapped up in supernatural things for the sake of being a mysterious magician that's holding the world, in awe of you. It's time to be a reasonable, logical, thinking Christian again so that God can effectively work through you. So that's the disclaimer first before we get going, talking about the gifts of healings. Just be reasonable. Just stay logical. Stay normal. All right, let's start here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the chapter concerning spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul the apostle writes, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." Says, you know you were Gentiles, you were heathens without God, not knowing God, following behind dumb idols. You know, idols that can't talk. They were just dumb idols. You followed behind them because you knew no better. So you know that you were just a Gentile falling behind dumb idols, even as you were led by them. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So you can't say authentically that Jesus is Lord unless you have the Holy Ghost inspiring you, because Jesus is Lord over those that are yielded to the Holy Ghost. He's not saying that you can't say it unless the Holy Ghost is saying it. He's saying that you're not authentic when you say it unless you are under the auspices and leadership and you have yielded to the Holy Ghost. So you can't call Jesus your Lord unless you give credence to the Holy Ghost. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation," now let that word ingrain you. Let that drill down into you. "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." The manifestation of the Spirit. It's one thing to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues, but we need a manifestation of the Spirit. Something needs to happen. The Holy Ghost needs to endow us with power that is tangible. Something you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. The senses must be enthralled by this thing. That's what makes it a sign and a wonder, because it's not a human power doing it. It's the manifestation of the Spirit. It's given to every man, he says, to profit with all, to profit everybody. So you got all these diverse operations of the Holy Ghost and supernatural powers he has at his disposal. And he's looking for a vessel that he can trust to work through. The problem with people is they get this power and they go crazy. They get proud. They get arrogant. They start acting weird and strange and start trying to promote themselves and make money off of it. See, you got to get out of yourself. This is the hindrance to the move of the Holy Ghost. Selfishness. Trying to be something on earth. Trying to promote self. Trying to get fame and fortune and trying to be somebody and look like something and all this stuff. We can get some plain, ordinary folks that are looking to save people's souls that the Holy Ghost can work through. And then we have no desire, no affectations to try to rise up and be something because of it. If God can start just reaching through us, he can save millions of people when we got a person that is finally selfless and dead to the flesh, dead to the world, dead to the devil. Flesh, the world, and the devil. The prince of this world can come, Satan can come, and he has nothing in you. Then you're a candidate for God to use you, and he can use me. But self has to be eradicated first. We're looking for a manifestation of the Spirit to profit everybody. Look what he says next in verse 8, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom is exactly what it says it is. It's a word that's imparting the wisdom of God. And he says to another, the word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge means he's telling, wisdom is what to do. Knowledge is telling you about something you didn't know before that point. So if you get to get a word of knowledge, he's telling you something supernaturally that you could not know in and of your own abilities. A word of knowledge, to know. He's making you to know something that you couldn't know. You don't know this, but God is telling it to you in real time. It's a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge and a word of wisdom usually walk hand in hand, because once he tells you the word of knowledge, a lot of time God will give you a word of wisdom as to what to do about what he just told you. So the word of knowledge lets you know something. The word of wisdom tells you what to do about it. See, without that, you know, to know something, a lot of times, and not knowing what to do about it can be useless. So the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom a lot of time will piggyback one on the other. You can be talking like I'm doing right now, and just in this presentation as I'm talking, God can give me a word of knowledge, because he'll make me know something that I didn't know before I sat right here to begin to do this. It'll happen a lot of times when you're teaching the Bible. You'll be made to know something that you didn't know. Or he'll tell you what to do about something and impart a word of wisdom about something that you're not skilled in. You have no foreknowledge about it. It happens all the time just in conversation. You don't know how much people flow in the gifts and not knowing it. They get a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom just in conversation. A lot of times teaching the Bible, you get words of wisdom and words of knowledge, and you don't even know it's transpiring. God is manifesting his spirit all the time. We just don't know it. So a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge to know, a word of wisdom, what to do about what you know. He says, to another, faith by the same spirit. So it says a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and to another, he'll give you the gift of faith. This is supernatural believing. It's your ability to believe something that you couldn't believe this. It's just impossible to believe this. To walk on water, you have to have supernatural belief. It has to be a belief that transcends the normalcies of life. It transcends all of the things that control nature and natural elements. It defies physical laws. Because I believe this so far out there. I believe this with everything I've got. I mean, it's something that transcends the normal ability of a human to believe something. It's a gift of believing, a gift of faith, whereby the Holy Ghost is believing in you, through you, and for you. The Holy Ghost is empowering your belief. It's the gift of faith. By the same Spirit, he gives the gift of faith. Then to another, he gives the gifts of healing. The gifts, plural, of healing. I call this message the gifts of healings, because God heals in varied ways. But it's the gifts of healing. We need these gifts. We need a word of knowledge. We need a word of wisdom. We need the gift of faith. We need the gift of healing. The gifts of healing. We covet the gifts of God. We covet the Holy Ghost manifesting himself. We want to see his kingdom come. Remember the prayer Jesus prayed? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If he's praying for God's kingdom to come, that means that there is a resistance to the kingdom of God coming. It's a kingdom that God is trying to manifest. He says, and the kingdom does not come with observation, for the kingdom is within you. So God is wanting to manifest his kingdom in you and through you and manifest his power. That's the demonstration of his kingdom. The gifts of the Spirit demonstrate the kingdom of God. Note now the resistance in churchianity that wars against the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because when the gifts of the Spirit manifest, they transcend religion, they transcend churchianity, they transcend the control mechanisms of men, so they become a threat to religion. Once you begin to raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick, open blind eyes, you see lame people walking again, once you see limbs growing out of arms, once you see all these diabolical diseases dismissed by the power of God, that threatens religion because they can't emulate and they can't mimic that. See, a preacher can mimic preaching and teaching and talking all day. But when you transcend just conversation and talking, then the false church comes under duress because they can't mimic that. Remember Jannes and Jambres when they withstood Moses in Egypt? A supernatural war broke out. And when those magicians found out they could not demonstrate or duplicate what Moses did, they began to say, this is the finger of God. This is the power of God. We can't do that. That's why they hated Jesus, all the religious people of his day, because they could not duplicate, emulate, or in any way try to fabricate what he did. They did not have the ability to do it, and so therefore they killed him. So you can see now these supernatural gifts on display are going to lead to tremendous conflict, and there is tremendous resistance. There's tremendous resistance to the gifts of the Spirit because this is the kingdom of God coming. Remember, Paul says, I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I come with a demonstration of the Spirit and power so that your faith won't stand in just spoken words, but your faith, your belief, your faithfulness will stand in the demonstration of the power. See, power demonstrated will transcend time and space. It will lift you away from this world. You'll leave there in shock and awe, in wonder. That's why they're called signs and wonders. You're left in this euphoric state of having behold a wonder that God performed. See, this cannot be replaced. It cannot be mimicked. It must be experienced for real. And everything we do is leading toward and headed toward a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. And his gifts. The church, when it's not adorned with the gifts of the Spirit, it has no power and no ability to really fully manifest Jesus and authenticate his life. He has to be shown to be alive now. And being able to do something about catastrophic events demonstrates that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Covet the gifts. Seek God for the gifts. Don't draw back, but don't be an idiot trying to be somebody that's going to try to impress somebody else and try to do something to exalt yourself. This is why we must first deconstruct self so God can now manifest through what he calls the new self, what he calls the new wine skin. I can't put new wine in an old wine skin. He has to deconstruct the old first and then reconstruct the new and then let the new wine flow through the new you and you, new me so that we won't get caught up in being selfish idiots that lose our salvation becoming proud and ignorant and become charismaniacs. So you see here, faith is given to another by the same Spirit, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Now that's being able to tell what spirit somebody is of. Is this a human spirit? Is this a godly spirit? Is this a demonic spirit? Is this the spirit of Satan? Is this the spirit of Jesus? Is this the spirit of God? Is this the spirit of an angel? Is this the spirit of a fallen angel? You've got to be able to discern what spirit somebody is of, so you won't be talking to the devil and calling him God. Discerning of spirits. Another, diverse kinds of tongues, diverse kinds of languages. You can talk in tongues in different languages. You know, your tongues can change from one language to another. Diverse kinds of tongues, diverse kinds of languages is one of the gifts of the Spirit. To another, the interpretation of the languages, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and the self-same Spirit divide into every man severally as he will. The Holy Ghost delves out or divides the gifts as he sees fit. Then he goes on talking about us being one body and many members, and that we're one body being many in Christ. And so we're all working under the auspices of the Holy Ghost and these gifts to actually demonstrate the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and to glorify him. The gifts are not given to glorify man. The gifts are given to glorify Jesus. So you see now, the gifts are important. You don't want to minimize the importance of the power of God. No matter what a teacher says, no matter what person is telling you is not for today, don't draw back. Read the whole Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the gifts of the Spirit went away. And tonight we're zeroing in on the gift of healing. The gifts of healing. That word gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is plural. The gifts of healing. The gifts of healing. So it's not just one way to heal. There are multitudes of ways to heal. And the Holy Ghost decides which way to heal people. So let's take a look at the gifts of healing here in the Bible and what the Bible says about some ways to heal. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, one book past Hebrews. James chapter 5, take a look at verse 14. Look what he says. Is any sick among you? Excuse me. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. So now let's establish this. What's wrong with most churches? They don't have elders. You can't call for the elders of the church if your church doesn't have elders. The church is in disarray. And that every church has a governing body of elders. We get caught up in one of the fivefold ministry gifts, which is a pastor, a shepherd. And what we've done, we made the pastor the CEO over a corporation called the church. That is not the proper government of God. The proper government of God is plural, and it establishes eldership. Elders can be pastors. Elders can also be evangelists, apostles, prophets, teachers. Elders could be a local butcher, for what it's worth. Elders are governing people over the body of Christ to tend to the needs of the people. So he says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church, of the ecclesia, the called out ones. This is why we're establishing Dunamis Tabernacle, to reestablish eldership and proper church order so that these healing gifts can flow through the elders. See, if it's not ordered right, if it's not set up like God set it up, a lot of things the Holy Ghost would do, he doesn't do, because the church is out of order. We've got to be called back to divine order. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So these are recognized elders, authenticated and appointed in the church, and calling them to aid you when you're sick, authorized by the word of God, has benefits for you. Look what he says. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brothers, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So you see now, one way of being healed is calling the elders of the church. But for you to call the elders of the church, there has to be elders in the church. So we got to have a divine, radical church reordering. It takes a new church order to deal with a new world order. We've got to call the church back to divine order to get the oil to begin to flow. The anointing of oil prayed over by the elders. And God says the prayer of faith will raise that person up. He'll save the sick person, and God will raise him up. And then if you have any sins, by confessing those sins, God will forgive you. Man, this is dynamic. This is power right here. When the church is in order and you're sick, and eldership is there to lay hands on you and believe with you and for you, God says he'll respond to that order and that commitment of that organic structure of the church and heal through that. Man, I'd be glad to see everything come back to like it's supposed to be. This thing has to be called back to divine order. The prayer of faith, the elders healing the sick. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, take a look at verse 20. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So look, then he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it says, take that word, pay attention to those words. Don't depart from them. Keep them in the midst of your heart, and the word itself will be health to all your flesh. So you got to get that word hidden in your heart that you might not sin against God. He said, then keep your heart, guard that word inside of you with all diligence, for out of your heart will flow the issues of your life. A lot of sickness and disease will be abated and kept from you by hiding that word in your heart. The word itself is a healing balm. The word itself is a life-giving essence. Start meditating on the word, hiding the word in your heart, playing the word over you, singing to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Invest in the word while you divest yourself of the world. Divest yourself of the world and invest in the word. It's a treasure that can bring health to your physical body. Take that word like you would medication 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. Begin to get on a regimen. If you're sick, start ingesting that word as your healing balm. It'll be health to all your flesh, according to Proverbs 4, verse 22. Health to all your flesh. Look at Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, take a look at verse 26. Look what he says here. This is God talking and said, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord, Moses speaking here, and if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Now let's go over that again. He says, if you will diligently hearken, listen to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do, you will to do this, that which is right in his sight is an exercise of your will. You listened and you will to do that which is right in his sight, not your sight, his sight. And will, you will to give ear to his commandments. You hearken to his commandments. You listen to them. You willfully choose to obey them. And keep all his statutes. Then he says this, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that heals you. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. So he says, look, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. Will to do what is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. And he says, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You got to take this word. You got to believe it. Listen intently and will to do it. If he says move out from there with your boyfriend after you get saved, move. If he says to take that zodiac sign off the wall in your house, take it down. If he says to get out of the Masons, get out of the Eastern Stars, get out of your sorority and your fraternity, don't think about it. Get out. So you got to get out. You got to make a move. It's things you got to do to get yourself in the right place to receive what God has. He wants to heal, but sometimes there are invisible barriers to healing that have to be removed by actions being taken. I mean, if he told Naaman the leper to go down to the Jordan River and dip to be healed from leprosy, if he had just stood there and not gone down to the Jordan River, he'd have leprosy tonight. You got to go and do what he said to do to get healed. He told you to go down to that river and dip 7 times. Man, go ahead and do it. He's sitting there about to argue about dipping in a muddy, nasty river. And he's the one that's got the leprosy. That's crazy. And another man had to tell him, look, Naaman, you've got the leprosy. And he's just asking you to do a simple thing, dip in this river. Man, go on down there and get rid of the leprosy, man, and dip in the river. What's wrong with you? And he finally went and did it. So you see now, you've got to take this word, and God will give you a word a lot of times on what to do about something, and your healing will spring forth from your obedience and doing what he said. A lot of times, healing is held up because you won't forgive people, that your Father can forgive you. You'll have somebody in your soul that you hate, and the Bible says a root of bitterness is down in you, and many can be defiled by you. A lot of times that kind of anger and malice and bitterness can lead to cancer. It's like rottenness in your bones. It eats you up inside. It's a lot of spiritual reasons for physical problems. Anxiety and stress and all this stuff on you can lead to all kinds of physical problems. So you got to know a lot of things we do physically has a spiritual element to it. Overeating can be a form of escape. And overeating can lead to high cholesterol, diabetes, all kinds of ailments in your body. Because you're taking in too much fat, taking in too much food, escaping from something else you begin to eat. People stop smoking and start eating. They stop eating and start smoking. They stop eating and smoking and start drinking. I mean, at some point, don't you want to get delivered? You can't keep escaping forever, running from hither, thither, and yonder, running around trying to find an answer for a spiritual problem. And it can lead to all kinds of diabolical diseases. That's why God will send his word to show you what's wrong, to get the thing off of you. And in that thing being lifted off of you, your healing can spring forth. This is real. Exodus 23. Exodus 23, take a look at verse 25. He says, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Serve the Lord. He'll bless your bread and water and take sickness away from the midst of you. So you see now, just in serving God, walking with God, being obedient to God, not being an idolater, not serving false gods, separating from sin can lead to healing and sickness leaving you. It's a simple thing. Just get in this word and live in it and stay with it. And God will come visit you and get rid of a lot of things that you don't even know left you a lot of times. He'll just be delivering you because God is good. And he'll look out for you just because he cares about you and loves you. But you got to obey what he tells you. You can't be a rebel expecting to receive anything from God. You can't be a double-minded person jumping in the world and back out again. You got to just sell out to this, commit, and go with God. Psalm 107, verse 19. Look what he says. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So he sends his word to heal. Sends his word to heal. A lot of times he'll send a messenger or send a servant of God to pronounce over you your healing. He'll send his word, and that pronouncement over you can heal you if you'll grasp it and take hold of it. God has a multitude of ways to heal. That's why it's called the gifts of healing. It's a multitude of ways to do it. It's a plural word there, gifts of healing. He can do it a lot of different ways. We got to be receptive to him as we're about to move into the supernatural demonstration of God's power. We want to be even keeled. We want to be normal about this. You don't want to begin to worship anything that happens. But at the same time, we have to allow God to move and heal people and do what he has to do while not getting caught up in what he does. Don't make it into a replacement for God and start to worship healing. Just say, thank you. I appreciate it, God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care if you see a dead man raised. Thank you, Lord. And stay flatlined. Stay normal. Don't start jumping around and busting out windows and diving out of skyscrapers and stuff. Just stay normal, man. God is supernatural. He does supernatural things. Accept that and keep your wits about you. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and you have healed me. This is a song of David. I cried unto you, and you healed me. So sometimes just the heartfelt cry from a person will lead to healing. Just the anguish of life and the desire for healing on your behalf or the behalf of your children or somebody else. You cry unto God, and God is touched by the feelings of your infirmities, and he comes to heal. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now a lot of people will tell you this is all about spiritual healing. But I don't believe so, because God is a healer. I believe this is an all-encompassing healing. The Greek word sozo is the Greek word for saved. It encompasses everything God does for us. He heals us. He delivers us. He blesses us. He restores us. It's all contained in the word sozo. Salvation is an all-encompassing action taken by God through Jesus to save us from everything down here. So healing is the children's bread, just like deliverance. You just got to believe that and walk in it. Like I said earlier, we cannot make God heal anything or anybody, but you can stay in the mindset that God can heal at his discretion at any time. You must stay set on go. Green lights must always be turned on, always expecting God to do that, which is supernatural. because we'll be able to receive it when we expect it. But don't let people get into negativity. I don't care who just died. God is a healer. I don't care who's sick. God is still a healer. I don't care what drugs you're on. God is still a healer. I don't care if every limb on your body is cut off. God is still a healer. I don't care who goes blind. God's a healer. I don't care who's deaf. God is a healer. You've got to be totally persuaded in your mind and in your heart that God is a healer, and he can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can dare ask or think, according to the power that works through you. That's how you got to walk this thing out. Don't let it change. Don't doubt. Don't ever downgrade it. God is a healer.